Well, today is Veterans Day, and I had a message, and hopefully I have a message about our country, about our nation. I'm concerned about America, and most of you are too. Now, some of you children, you may not know anything about it and don't think about all of the things that are going on. But I want us to look in Psalm 80, the 80th Psalm in your Old Testament, Psalm 80. And as I read in Psalm, the 80th Psalm, I see that there's a plea for the return of God's favor upon Israel. And that's what I pray for, and you do too, that God's favor would be upon America. We sing God Bless America. Everybody loves to sing that prayer. And as we do, we feel that there are some changes that need to be made. I titled the sermon today, Will God Impeach America? You see, in Washington, they're working real hard, some people are, to impeach our president. We have had presidents impeached in the past. I remember one or so. And I don't know what's going to happen. It may not, but there sure is a lot of division in our country. About half of the people want him to be impeached, and half of the people in Washington want him not to be impeached. And I believe it was Abraham Lincoln said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And this division is serious. You watch on television and sometimes you think it's just a game that they're playing, and as they talk about it in such a fashion that you think it's some sort of a contest or a game, but it's very serious. So my question is, and one that I hope we can all think about is, I don't know about the impeaching of the president, but will God impeach America, our whole country, be impeached? And I think the answer to that is yes, yes. Look at Psalm 80, in the 80th Psalm, verses 12 and 13, it says, Why hast thou then broken down her hedges? You see the scriptures on the screen as well. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? You see, God had put a hedge of protection around his people, Israel. And in this passage, God has taken down the hedge. And it's very, very serious. Notice verse 13. The boar out of the wood doth waste it. That is the wild hog. I deer hunted some yesterday. Down those hogs down there, just tearing up Jake. Just tearing up everything. The boar out of the wood doth waste it. And the wild beast of the field doth devour it. We're talking about Israel, God's chosen nation, God's chosen people. And it says that God had taken away the hedge of protection from around the nation of Israel. Will God do the same thing for America? I believe there has been a hedge of protection around America for the hundreds of years that we've been in existence. But I believe that God may have already taken down the hedge. I hope not. Because if the hedge of protection is down off of your life as an individual, off of our church, off of the nation, then we are in a heap of trouble. And that is what we're concerned about today. America is sick. Do we not see that? Do we not believe that? Do we not see there's a sickness in our country? America is in a moral free fall. The things that were right 100 years ago are called wrong. And all of us who preach the gospel and use the Bible as our guide are laughed at and ridiculed, and our country is certainly in a moral free-for-all. Psalm 80, this whole psalm, is really a prayer for revival. Notice verses 1-3. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou who leadest Joseph like a flock, thou who dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. That's a cry for revival. Restore us, he says in verse 3, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And notice down in verse 7, restore us, O God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. So here are the people crying out, O God, save us. We repent of our sins. We're going to turn to you. It's a prayer for revival. The four things that I want to bring your attention to today from this Psalm number 80. You'll notice, I believe, that they apply to America. Now I realize Israel is not America. America is not Israel. Those are two separate nations, two separate things. But the way in the Old Testament that God deals with Israel is, in my mind, in the mind of most of us, the way that he deals with us as America. You see, we have great national despair. Notice in verse 4-6. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You feed them with the bread of tears and give them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. You see, the people in Israel were praying, but God was not hearing their prayer. And as a matter of fact, I guess he heard his prayer and he didn't like it. America is pretty much a praying. We have days of prayer. We have prayer breakfast. We have all kinds of things. And yet in this instant, it says that the prayer made God angry. There was spiritual sterility. The people were praying, but God was not answering. God was not only not answering their prayers, but the prayers of the people were actually making God angry. Isn't that a horrible thought, that we could be praying in church and God be angry at our prayers? That as a nation we could be praying, God bless America, and God would be angry with our prayers? Why? Because unless there is righteousness, God is not pleased with our prayers. Not only was God, the prayer of the unrepentant people is an insult to Almighty God. There was sorrow in the land of Israel. Notice verse 5. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. So the nation of Israel was baptized, it says, in tears. Sorrow always follows sin. Notice Proverbs 29 and verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And I believe there is so much reason for us to recognize the sorrow that is in our nation because of sin. There was national shame. Notice verse 6. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. I'm not sure that America is honored like she used to be. We were honored among the nations, but today it seems as though we are not, and we have become a laughing stock because of our sinfulness. Israel was born with in a national design. a glorious national design. Notice verse 8. You have planted a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and you have planted it. Now in the Bible, God planted Israel. Israel was called His vineyard, His special possession, His vineyard. So there's a parallel between Israel and America today. I believe that America was planted by God, as no other nation has been. America was planted by God. America has been blessed by the Lord. Throughout all of our history, we've had great, great blessings. And we're an ordained nation in the nation of the world. No nation has had such a beginning in faith as America has. I was noticing this article from 1954. And I'll just share this. In 1954, I was 14 years old. How old are you? Some of y'all weren't born yet, were you? But in 1954, in Time Magazine, in the religion section of Time Magazine, they covered the prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C. There were some 600 people present, businessmen, politicians. They met in the Mayflower Hotel and this was their breakfast, grapefruit, scrambled eggs, sausage, ham, hominy grits, and gravy. That was back in 1954. Among those present were President Eisenhower. I like Ike. I remember that was 1964. And Vice President Nixon. And the scripture they were reading from was, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Well, I'm not pointing out about Eisenhower and Nixon today, but I want us to realize that one very popular man, very important man, a chief U.S. Supreme Court Justice, Earl Warren, Eisenhower had appointed him. And he was a liberal. He was not a conservative. And many conservatives, as a matter of fact, during those days of Earl Warren, there were signs up around the country, "Impeach Earl Warren. Get him out of the place in the Supreme Court." But Earl Warren, they even called him Pinky Warren. He's remembered today for some things that we as conservative Christians do not approve of. 50 years, though, as we look back at this, it is interesting to read what Earl Warren said. He was at the prayer breakfast, and this is what a liberal guy like Chief Justice Earl Warren said in public. "I believe no one can read the history of our country without realizing that the good book and the spirit of the Savior, Jesus, have from the beginning been our guiding genius." That's what he said at that prayer breakfast. "Whether we look to the first charter of Virginia, or to the charter of Massachusetts Bay, or to the fundamental orders of Connecticut, the same objective is present. A Christian land governed by Christian principles." Boy, if people were to say that today, and some have recently said that, and they have been criticized. I mean, the tweet world has tweeted all kind of terrible things because someone had the nerve to say this, that we are a Christian nation, that God ordained our nation, and that as His people, we need to recognize that. Earl Warren said, "I believe the entire Bill of Rights came into being because the knowledge of our forefathers had of the Bible and their expressed belief in the Bible. I believe that we're living today in the spirit of the Christian faith. I like also to believe that as long as we do so, no great harm can come to our country." That was 1954. Chief Justice saying those things. I believe it's true, and we certainly are a God-planted nation, planted by the Lord. Now, you see, we believe in separation of church and state. But we do not believe in separation of church and God and God in government. We believe that there needs to be God in government. We've been a nation that prospered in many, many ways. Israel was a nation that prospered in so many ways. Look at verse 10 and 11 in Psalm 80. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. You see, it was taught in the Old Testament by the prophets that there was private ownership, the dignity of work and honor, and Israel prospered, and America has prospered as well. God has blessed our nation. But our nation's in danger, and we realize that that is true. Notice verse 12 Psalm 80, verse 12. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? You see, he placed a hedge of protection around his vineyard of Israel, and I believe the same has been true. One of the there's a doctrine of hedges, a hedge. Job, the Old Testament book of Job. You remember him? Job chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Look at what it says about Job. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for nothing, for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about Job and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Now here was the devil talking to God and said, I'm talking to you about Job, and said that the hedge was there on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So you see, the Lord had put a hedge around, and even the devil understood that. And the devil said, Job, if you take down the hedge, then, and that's what happened there. God removed it, and what happened in Job's life? Everything bad began to happen. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost his health. All because the hedge had been taken away. So in that respect, I believe God has placed a hedge around a nation, our nation, as he did Israel. But if the hedge is taken away, then great trouble follows. There's danger from the enemies. There's danger from corruption. We, as Americans, we've become immoral and corrupt. The Bible has been taken out of our public schools, replaced with crime and violence and disrespect and downright rebellion, and judgment will come. I see no doubt to believe that judgment is coming upon America. God is America's greatest hope. But God is America's greatest threat. He's America's greatest hope, but he's America's greatest threat. When we have kicked God out of the schools, and they're trying to kick God out of government, God may impeach America as a result of his judgment. There's a passage in Leviticus, way in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 25. Notice what it says. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomits out her inhabitants. A wicked nation led by wicked people is a terrible judgment. But there's need for us to have hope, isn't there? That's why we're praying for our country. We don't believe it's too late. Hope that it's not. There's a great national deliverance. Notice in Psalm 80, verse 14 and 15. In verse 14 and 15. Return, we beseech thee, O God of our host. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that you made strong for yourself. That was a prayer for God to help. First of all, we need to look up as a nation. We need to look up. God is the only source of help, the only one strong enough and wise enough to deliver us. And we must seek His face rather than just His hand. We need to turn to God in fasting and prayer and weeping. You know, one has said it doesn't really matter so much as who is in the White House or the State House. God does not bring revival through Washington, D.C. And I believe that is true. God brings revival through His people and through the church, not through the nation and through the government. So we must look up to Him. We must confess our sins. You see, sin in Israel caused God to remove the hedge, and so we must confess our sins that the hedge be restored. We must speak up in our country, and people are doing that. I'm grateful that they are, even in our county, in our state, speaking up for righteousness, and we need to do that. The enemy's strategy is to keep the church silent. They want the church to remain silent. They don't want us to speak. They don't want to listen to us or hear what we have to say. The church is not the master of the state, nor is the church the servant of the state, but the church is to be the conscience of the state. And so the enemy is trying to keep us quiet, and so we'll not declare the word of God. And we need to stand up and be counted. I don't know what the answer. Well, I do know what the answer is. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will cleanse their land. So it is a matter of a call to prayer in these days. All of our veterans would say, yes, 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 we have served. And even when we come to Memorial Day and we remember those who have died in the service of our country, we need to stand up and be counted and live for the Lord. The day is now. It really is. And we need to take it far very serious. I have another funeral tomorrow. Seems like I have a funeral every week. My wife and I, when I got the word that Bill Hughes from Murfreesboro had died, we just sat down and cried because we loved him so much. He and his wife came from Murfreesboro several years ago, all the way to Nashville. They said, we're going to start coming to your church. We see it on television, and we want to come and be in the music program and hear your preaching. So there were two families moved their membership from Murfreesboro to Nashville. Bill and Betty were one of those. Spent many hours in their home eating fish that he caught and deer that he killed and so forth in days past. And anyway, about 2 days ago, they were getting ready to pack their suitcases, bags, so they could go take care of the grandchildren so that their son and them could do something else. And so Betty was packing the case, and he was in there sitting. She said he was sitting in his chair watching Fox News like he does every morning. And she got in the shower, and when she got out, she came in there and said, Bill, Bill? He didn't answer. He was sitting in his chair, dead. She said, I touched him and he was gone. Hadn't been sick. That came as a shock and a surprise. And she said he was just gone with a heart attack in the blinking of an eye. He was gone. We have his funeral tomorrow. We'll bury him down at Stevens, Arkansas. My son John, that was his first full-time church, was First Baptist Stevens. He and Meredith went there and had our grandson while they were those 4 years at Stevens in that church. So we'll take him back and bury him in his hometown. I was thinking about that. Boy, that could be me. That could be you. I know it sounds scary, but it's realistic, isn't it? They had no idea that was going to be the end, the last. But it was. Betty said, you know, Brother David, we just all better be ready. I said, yeah, it sounds just like Dr. Bob Sykes. He was our physician in Nashville. And his wife, he was sitting in there watching Fox News. I guess you shouldn't sit in your chair and watch Fox News. Dr. Sykes was in the bedroom with his cereal, eating cereal, watching Fox News. And his wife was in the other part of the house. And after a while, she realized he ought to be getting ready to go to his doctor's office and so forth. And she went in there. Bob was one of my closest friends, too. I loved him to death. She said he was sitting there holding his cereal, didn't even spill it. I mean, sitting there holding, and just died. Boy, preachers tell stories like that. But I tell a story like that to realize that could be you, that could be me. The question, are we ready? Well, Bill was ready. I know he was. I just know he's a great Christian man. Dr. Sykes, one of the greatest Christian men I've ever known. So you see, when they passed away and their wives found them sitting in their chairs watching Fox News and dying, we believe they went to be with the Lord. They went to heaven. They didn't go to hell. They didn't go to torment. They didn't go to that place of judgment, you see. They were saved. And my point in telling this is that whatever we think about the country and impeaching the nation, we all need to be ready. We all need to be ready. My son, John David, he's so weird in his thinking, more so than me. But he put it on this morning. I guess it was on Instagram. He said he came in and saw Meredith's boots. She'd been outside in her boots. And they were sitting by the door inside. And John said, and he sent a picture of it to me, her two shoes and no Meredith, no wife, no, just, she was gone. He said, oh my soul, I thought, has the rapture come and she's gone and I'm still here? And then he quoted that song. He said, I remember from my childhood, I wish we'd all been ready. Oh, that was a popular song back in the 70s or 60s, wasn't it? I wish we'd all been ready. Well, Meredith had just put her shoes there and gone somewhere else. She hadn't gotten raptured. But those stories remind us of the shortness of time, the importance of making our decision for Christ and making it now. It says, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray that if you're not saved today, you will trust Him as your Savior and your Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for today, for this Veterans Day. And Lord, if there is anyone here who is not saved, oh Lord, I pray that today, before they leave this place, they will be saved. You've done all that's necessary upon the cross of Calvary. You died there. You shed Your blood there. You paid the price for our sins there. You were then buried in the grave and resurrected and have ascended back to Your Father and at His right hand even now, ready to save all those who are lost. I pray that those who are lost will be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.